Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. We're looking today at Mark's Gospel in chapter 14. And really a great deal is happening. It begins with a meal at the house of Simon. He's Simon the leper. We don't know a great deal about him, but he's invited Jesus to his house and a meal is taking place. We do know that the Passover is very, very near. In fact, we're told just 2 days away. And of course, for Jesus, this is very, very poignant, very strong, because he knows that he is God's Lamb who will be offered as a sacrifice for our sins. But this meal at Bethany, just outside, it seems that it's near enough to Jerusalem that Jesus could be in Bethany and back in Jerusalem relatively easily. But the meal is quite significant because during it, there's this lady who breaks open an alabaster jar. It contains massively expensive perfume, and she's going to pour this perfume over his head. Now, those present kind of get a little bit uptight and question that this is an enormous waste. But Jesus says no. He says, she's done a beautiful thing to me. He says, I want you to know wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she's done will be told in memory of her. Now, this story is in other Gospels too, and the sense is that this woman is expressing love. She's making enormous sacrifice, but she's expressing her love, and in fact, she's anointing the body of Jesus. And Jesus knows that the crucifixion and subsequent events, Passover, day almost gone, hurried burial in the tomb, not much anointing, not much preparation. This woman is preparing the way before an event that she probably has no real understanding of. But Jesus is precious. There is no sacrifice too great that we can make for him. Not too long after this, they do go to celebrate the Passover. And we know that Jesus has made very careful preparations. And we know that there comes a point in the midst of the meal when Jesus indicates that he knows he's going to be betrayed, but he also takes bread and says, take it, this is my body. He takes a cup and says, this is my blood of the covenant. And he's indicating that this is something that they need to repeat. This is something that will keep reminding them that he's giving his life for them. He's shedding his blood for them. And it's going to bring in an entirely new covenant. Well, Jesus warned Peter that he would deny him. And certainly this is what happens. Jesus says, today, even tonight, before the rooster crows, twice you yourself will disown me 3 times. Peter doesn't believe it. He's got no time for that thinking. We know subsequently it will happen. Then Jesus goes to Gethsemane. And this is very powerful because it just gives us an insight into the reality and the humanity of Jesus. The reality that he knows he's going to suffer death, and he knows it's going to be a horrible death, a prolonged death. But he also knows that he's going to be separated from his Father. He's going to be our sin bearer. And all of that seems to crash in on him. And it's absolutely agonizing. And he keeps praying and praying and seeking Father for grace. But he's at that wonderful place. Everything's possible. You can take this cup from me, but not what I will, but what you want. Shortly after, Jesus is arrested. And he's dragged before the Sanhedrin. And they seem to be absolutely committed that whatever he says, they've found him guilty already. They've tried him. It's all done and dusted as far as they're concerned. And then comes the moment that Jesus had predicted. Peter disowns Jesus. He's watching events from afar, and he's challenged to acknowledge that he's been with Jesus, but he's having none of it. He's not listening. And he suddenly realizes that three times he's denied Jesus. And the chapter ends, he broke down and wept. These things are unfolding very quickly, very painfully, but we know that they're all in the plan of God to bring about salvation for us. We must listen to some worship, after which my good friend Patrick will join me to share some thoughts on this chapter.
Beating heart, comfort me now, keep me from harm. Let all the troubled thoughts in my mind cease. Cover me, Lord, forever in your peace. Strengthen my faith. Help me to stand, lift up my head, hold high my hands. The sacrifice of praise is all I can do. Lord, hear this prayer, calling out to you. I want to jump. Lay down in the river of peace. I want to jump in the river, be whole in the river, and free in the river of peace. I want to jump in the river, swim.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've joined Richard now to look further at these verses from Mark chapter 14. So, Richard, a significant chapter because the events really leading up to Jesus' crucifixion. But let's just look at this lady, this woman, who pours the perfume over Jesus. Reputed to be Mary Magdalene. Maybe it was. It doesn't say so specifically here.
Sure.
But what does Jesus' response to it say about Jesus, really?
Well, it is remarkable because he's a lone voice. Because most of the people are looking on saying, this is a disgrace, this is terrible, this is awful. But he's the only one, which we would understand, who sees what's really happening.
Mm.
And he recognizes that this is almost a prophetic act. As much as there's a personal devotion in this lady, there's something going on, there's a dynamic going on which says despite the fact that Jesus is going to be brutally and thoroughly dishonoured, she's going to honour him, and she's getting in now before the awful crucifixion process.
Mm. So these events begin then, and we have the Last Supper. Quite an emotional time for Jesus, I would think. We don't often think in those terms, but for Jesus as a man, here he was with those people that he'd been with for the last, 3 years, and it was going to be his final meal with them.
Yes, that's right. I mean, we're straying into Luke's gospel, but Luke actually records Jesus saying, "I've longed to have this meal with you."
Mm.
And clearly that's there in the Mark account, that Jesus isn't going through the motions. It's not just a ritualistic time. It is a time with them, a special time, because, as you say, it would be the last meal that they would share like this before he goes to the cross.
And when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, again, we see a very clear insight into Jesus as a man, you know, really troubled by what is going to happen. Given that, you know, Jesus was who he was in terms of the Son of God, should we be surprised that this comes out in the scripture, his humanity?
The challenge is that people, they saw the sick healed, they saw the blind eyes open, and therefore when they see that Jesus, they're kind of really comfortable with that, because that's great, wonderful things happening. But perhaps they just couldn't handle and didn't really take on board fully that this was all going to end. Well, not fully end, but there was going to be this period of suffering and this period of rejection and this period of death. And Jesus is truly man, and he's going to feel it. He's not oblivious to this. He's not sort of like sedated in some way that he's not aware of it. He's fully aware. And yet he's going to say, "Father's will be done, not mine."
And then you have Peter, of course, who denies Jesus. How are we to understand that? At the end of the day, why did Peter deny Jesus, do you think?
I think that there are moments when we discover realities. And for Peter, in the build-up to this, was thinking, "I'll never let anything happen to Jesus. I'll strike him down. I'll not make any mistakes. I'm going to be loyal." But in the moment of just realizing what's going on, it's like he loses his nerve. He panics, and he suddenly, instead of being all up for Jesus, is a bit troubled about himself. Whatever will they do to me? I'm not going to identify with Jesus. So reality moments are very challenging, and we can only pray that we'll have God's grace to behave in the way we want to behave should such a moment come.
Well, we leave it kind of in the midst of a difficult time for Jesus, but we'll pick up the story in the next programme. So, Richard, thank you very much indeed. Do join us again next time as we continue looking at this story in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.